you two are recording Grain with Evil, huh?
Hey, Sasha, yeah. Ben wasn't going to do it.
And honestly, Sasha, you're not exactly TOMMY's biggest fan.
T-O-M... Wait, do you mean Todd?
Shh.
He'll hear you.
What?
It's Ben. If he hears that name, he'll be here in a shot.
Ben's not even on Zoom. Who cares if I say Tommy?
Did I hear someone say Tommy?
Me?
The hell?
Who said Tommy?
No one. No one said Tommy.
You know, Ben, why don't you and I go get a cup of coffee and talk about Carter Grayson?
Yes.
Have fun.
That sounds like a fantastic idea. Yep, no Green Rangers here, no sir. Dodge a bullet on that one, Mike.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindebaum, and I'm being joined by one of my several Power Ranger allies, with this one being Mr. Blue. Oh no, I'm Mr. Blue. Screw you. Mr. Yellow Ranger, Mr. Brian Massey. I forget I'm the Blue Ranger. See, I don't ever talk about what Ranger color I am.
It's all good, man. Well, I went ahead and wore green.
Yeah, but... Because we're doing Green with Evil Part 1 and 2 on today's episode. Next episode will be Parts 3 and 4, and then we'll close off. And I think if I did the scheduling for the episodes right, we close the week with Part 5.
Nice.
If I did the scheduling correctly. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start off with everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, which is the quick run-through of Green with Evil Parts 1 and 2. So we start off at the Youth Center for the Angel Grove Martial Arts Expo. Zach and Trini coaching Jason while seeing the new kid show off and while Kim swoons over him. Rita also likes this new guy and wants him as her Green Ranger. Jason and the new guy spar, and his name is Tommy. Thank you, scoreboard, for telling us what his name is. Tommy is taking it to Jason, but Jason makes the comeback to end the match in a draw. Jason is bummed he didn't win and leaves to take a shower. And Kim is still swooning over Tommy. Yes, she is. At Angel Grove High School, Skull is hitting on Kim. And before Bolt can bully her into a date with Skull, Tommy comes to the rescue. Kim asks Tommy if he would like to hang out, which he agrees to. Rita begins her spell on Tommy and sends putties to attack him as his test. Tommy fights the putties and utilizes the trash can lid very well. And now Tommy is captured by Rita, and Rita continues her spell on Tommy, and he is now under her spell. Rita gives Tommy his marching orders and informs him of who the five Power Rangers are. Zordon is asking Alpha to go charge while he goes into a meditative state, but here comes Tommy morphed and causing destruction. Zordon goes back and forth with Tommy, but Tommy wrecks the command center and Zordon has lost connection. Rita makes Goldar grow, and the Rangers are at Billy's, and Alpha tries to contact them. And it's Radbug time, because they can't teleport. They get to the command center and get Alpha back up and running, kind of. They morph into action and take on the putties. It's Megazord time, but while fighting Goldar, Tommy enters the Megazord and kicks everyone out, like as if they were missing on a rent payment. Epic battle between the five and Tommy, even better fight between Jason and Tommy, but the Rangers return defeated. Which then brings us into part two, which is titled Jason's Battle. At the command center, the team is surveying the damage. Billy and Trini trying to get Alpha back up and running properly. At Rita's palace, they plot to begin phase two. It's time for Tommy to get the Sword of Darkness. Tommy is returned on Earth until further notice, and Bulk and Skull get intimidated by Tommy and chucked into a dumpster through magic. At the youth center, Jason is taking it to that punching bag and talking openly, a little too openly, might I add, about Power Ranger business. While at the command center, Billy and Alpha work on the command center itself. At school, Kim sees Tommy and he blows her off, and damn, Tommy, chill, bro. Kim is upset because of that. That's all because of you, jerk. Tommy does his challenge to earn the Sword of Darkness, and he has a little bit of trouble, but he gets the job done and earns the Sword of Darkness. Jason finds Tommy and they chat. As Jason walks away, Tommy captures him and sends him to Rita's palace. Jason is now face to face with Goldar, who also has his morpher. Goldar teases Jason. Meanwhile, Kim and Zach go to the command center via Radbug, and at the command center, Billy and Alpha fix as much as they can. Jason and Goldar face off in a pretty contested fight, but Goldar gains the upper hand. Meanwhile, the others morph into action to fight Tommy. The Rangers call for their Zords, and poor Kim doesn't call for her Zord again. And how are they forming the Megazord without Jason? Like, who has control of Tyrannosaurus? But they force Tommy to retreat. Back at the command center, they sort of get Zordon back, and Jason is still being toyed with by Goldar. And the run times of the two episodes is 20 minutes and 7 seconds for part 1 and 20 minutes and 19 seconds for part 2.
Awesome.
Take it away, Brian.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Episode 17, Green with the Evil, Part 1, originally aired on October 5th, 1993. And the Super Sentai Companion episode was also Episode 17, The Sixth Hero, which originally aired over in Japan on June 19th, 1992. And, Mike, I want to go ahead and say before we get into these episodes that I promise I won't mention too much of the Super Sentai stuff in this because I know that there's enough Mighty Morphin Power Rangers stuff to cover anyways. But
and not only that, but we do know that at some point, we want to do Sentai somehow, some way. We actually do want to do a dedicated thing to the Sentai.
Yeah, so we will talk, Kira Sentai Judo Ranger, but I cannot wait to compare these episodes because there's so much similar, but there's so much different as well. So I got some trivia for all 5 episodes, and then as we go on to the different episodes, I have random errors that pop up as well. I'm just going to go ahead and run through as much of these as possible. So the original draft script title for the third part was Desperately Seeking Scorpina. This is the very first multi-part episode in Power Rangers. To date, this is also the only 5-part episode in all of Power Rangers. It was the only multi-part episode where every episode had its own individual name. This is the first appearance of a Sixth Ranger in both Super Sentai and Power Rangers. However, there was kind of a Sixth Ranger in Hikari Sentai Mask Man, which was X1 Mask, who was supposed to pay homage to Battle Fever J. But as far as the Green Ranger appearing, like, this was the first time in both Power Rangers and in Super Sentai that we ever got an official Sixth Ranger that was a permanent member of the team.
Well, you would assume that would be the first time ever in Power Rangers because, well, it's the first season of Power Rangers.
It's the first season. But, it just so happens to be that was the way it was over in Japan as well. So it says here, in part 1, when Tommy's being turned into the Green Ranger by Rita, the footage, let's just scrap that. I actually want to get into my notes, but then we'll talk about some of the stuff later. Because it does get brought up anyways. So here's my main notes. So we open at the Angel Grove Martial Arts Expo, taking place at Ernie's Juice Bar. And does anyone else notice this redheaded lady who's in the audience? Like, she is very enthusiastic. And I wish, like, more of the extras on set had her kind of energy, because she's just crazy about it. And we're introducing Jason Frank as Tommy, and I guess we didn't want to confuse kids by putting David in his name, I guess. I don't know. It is kind of foreshadowing now that I think about it, but how the Five Rangers react to Tommy is kind of how the relationship would develop, at the very least with Jason and Kim. Jason is, while not intimidated by Tommy, definitely put on guard and notices how formidable he might be as an opponent. And of course, Kim thinks he's cute. It's kind of a shame that their story ends with a Dear John letter, but we aren't anywhere near Zeo yet, so, or what have you. So, Rita, of course, is spying on the Rangers at the event, notices Tommy doing some spin kicks and says, "Did you see that guy? He'll make a great Green Ranger. I'm glad all you need is some spin kicks, a good aya, and a mullet to be the Green Ranger." This is one of my little critiques. While Tommy is an interesting character, he has no real motivation to be evil, hence the evil spell that he's going to be put under later. Part of me wishes he had been hanging out with like Bulk and Skull or an even more rough and tumble crew, become the Green Evil Ranger, you know, based on his attitude and demeanor, an actual teenager with attitude, and then had a change of heart and began building up friendships with the other Rangers once he realized that they were trying to help him. Now, maybe karate was the only thing keeping him from really going off the deep end. Maybe he had a really bad home life or something. I feel like this would have been a more interesting take on the character. And, you know, despite the ratings board maybe not approving that depiction, I feel like there are a lot of kids who would have really identified with somebody like that. But that's just, that was just me writing some notes at, like, you know, crazy o'clock in the morning. We get the first of many to come fights between Jason and Tommy. And again, that redhead extra is really excited. We get Spin Kick City, some backflips, plenty of action. I do wonder how they got anyone's name on the scoreboard if it's longer than five letters, but that's just my ADD talking. The competition ends in a draw. Jason goes to get a shower. The boys go to the juice bar, and Kim and Trini check out Tommy before heading there as well. The next day at school, Kimberly is at her locker, and Skull comes by asking if she needs a big, strong man to help her with her books. And I guess maybe he's not entirely over getting hit on by Punk Kim from a couple episodes ago. I don't know. Tommy shows up and tells Bulk and Skull to leave her alone. Bulk threatens Tommy, and Tommy proceeds to do punches and spin kicks again. And Skull gives this really good, wide-eyed, scared look. But there's this girl in the background who's exiting a classroom and just kind of stares for a minute and leaves, kind of like, what did I sign up for? Kim formally introduces herself and invites him to the youth center. Love is in the air. Rita is preparing her putties to attack Tommy as a test to see if he is truly worthy of being her Green Ranger. And I'm not certain if this spell is footage from the adjacent Zoo Ranger footage, but I know that Bandor isn't the one who awakens Barai, so even I'm curious where this came from. Tommy's walking home with what I'm guessing is downtown LA behind him when he gets attacked. I love how the creative this fight gets with the trash can lid, and Tommy even pulls like a Captain America and throws it like Cap's shield, making a putty fly like the wind into a couple of cardboard boxes, which was really nice. I do have a question. Why did Tommy put his back down when the wind picks up? Don't you think he would have like held onto it a little tighter? He never gets that back, by the way.
That's a wonderful question. I wouldn't know. And also to answer the other question about like Rita and the spell with Barai,
yeah.
Great splicing.
Hmm. All right. Okay. He comes back all eviled up in the bag, presumably in the same alleyway. Okay, you know what? When Tommy awakens and receives the power of the Green Ranger in the silhouette, that is absolutely Barai. How JF delivers his lines here is kind of meh, but it was serviceable as a kid. But he kind of just does this, like, how may I serve my empress? Kind of like a drone bot kind of thing. I don't know. I think he wasn't really much of an actor, so you can't really... I don't think he had acting lessons. He was definitely more of a martial artist back in the day, so I can't really blame him for his acting. But let's see here. Oh yeah. What I'm kind of curious about is why they decided to remind us who the Rangers were like this far in the episode. Maybe it's because no one's morphed in as much as 9 minutes into an episode. I don't know. But sure enough, we get the same thing at the beginning of Day of the Dumpster as we do here. So it's like, oh, look, Jason's the Red Ranger. I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot that the first thing that the Green Ranger did was give Alpha a virus via CD-ROM and destroy the command center, which is like the most 90s thing ever. He like pulls out an AOL like free 90 minutes, you know, thing and just pops it in. The pacing of the scene and Zordon telling Alpha to charge up is awful, by the way. It's almost like they forgot to put in the scene where Zordon says, hey, I'm going to power down for a little bit, and someone had to rush edit it. And Tommy is so new as a ranger that he doesn't even have his power coin in his morpher yet. Which, by the way, I totally would have smashed the viewing globe if I was him. You know, like, why didn't you just do that, too? Goldar gets used as a distraction, and hey, look, it's the rad bug. I'm happy the rad bug is there just in case the communicators become non-functional and the teleporters are down. Oh, hey, look, the communicators are non-functional and the teleportation's down. To the rad bug. You know, Alpha needs help, and Mike, I don't know about you, I've never ridden a classic VW bug, but I didn't know you could seat five people in one. It looked like max a four-seater.
I have never sat in a VW Beetle. I have not sat in the classic. I have not sat in when they rebrought it back out, and I think in like, what, the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm.
Never been in one. Don't have the desire to be in one. I'm too tall for the car. Seriously, I'm 5'11", and it actually bothers me to get into like a regular like car. Like, if I had to drive my mom's, like, Hyundai Sonata or my parents' Hyundai Sonata,
mm-hmm.
it bothers me to get up in and out of that car. Whereas I drive a Subaru Outback, and it's a lot easier to get in and out of for myself.
I mean, we're the same height, so I feel you, bud. It's like, okay, I got to push the seat back and make sure that, you know, my legs fit. Okay. Billy gets there and helps out Alpha, and the virus dicks was kind of poking out of his back, I guess. So he just kind of went boop, you know, no more AOL free hours. And then the Rangers morph to fight Goldar. They fight some putties and some super putties, even though they weren't really announced as being there. Giant sized Goldar causes an avalanche with his sword, and the Rangers kind of ignore it, calling on the Megazord. Goldar gives a heck of a drop kick to the Megazord, flips a bit and disappears, leaving the Green Ranger to storm inside the cockpit and throw him to the ground. We then get that really awesome 5-versus-1 fight between the Rangers, and Tommy just stomps them. They then retreat to the command center. Alpha's still suffering from a virus. Zordon is gone. The command center is in shambles, and the Green Ranger vows to destroy the Rangers one and all. Things can't get any worse. On to episode 2 of 5. All right, let's pop those notes up. All right, so Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 18, Green with Evil Part 2. Original air date was October 6, 1993. The Super Sentai counterpart episode for that one was Episode 18, The Hate-Filled Brother's Sword, which originally aired June 26, 1992. There are errors for Episode 1 and 2 here. So it says here, in Part 1, when Tommy sat up from the platform in the preparation chamber, after being abducted by Rita, he appeared to be wearing the Green Ranger suit without a helmet. Soon afterward, though, he was still in civilian clothes. When the Rangers were fighting Goldar in Part 1, the power sword flipped between shots. It flew down from the sky, point down. Let me move you real fast. But it was point up when the Megazord caught it. In Part 1, the rad bug disappears from the command center upon the Rangers exiting it, which I kind of noticed that. Without even really paying too much attention to it. All right. And then most of these are actually spoilers. So let's just get to the main notes and then I'll bring them back later. So I don't know if you watch this via Netflix, but I have my subtitles on and this entire episode called Zordon as Zordan. Zordan. So I kept calling him Zordan this entire episode. Episode 2 begins with Billy and Trini working on Alpha as the rest of the gang laments on the Green Ranger. The main focus of this episode is to further entrench the Green Ranger as a legitimate threat and bad guy, all while having Tommy do some undercover bad guy stuff to the Rangers as well. The command center is still trashed, and Billy and Trini stay behind after getting Alpha back online and in working mode. Zordan is still lost in the ether and not connected to our universe's energy grid. There's a funny scene where, like you said, where Tommy goes back to the same alley where he was abducted. Told you the bag was going to go missing, by the way. Is told by Rita to keep his identity a secret, and then Bulk and Skull show up, who then tell Tommy that they're owed an apology for earlier. That whole thing where Tommy is, you know, spin kicking and going, hee-ah, and, you know, all that. I guess they need an apology. I don't know. Tommy's eyes grow green and... I guess he uses his Green Ranger energy to lock onto their feet and dump them into a dumpster. He needs to get his eyes checked as a legit funny moment from Bulk. I got to give it to him. Also, I don't remember ever flying TWA Airlines, but there's definitely a building with that logo on it. There's a scene where Kim asks Tommy what happened to meeting up the night beforehand, and Tommy says something that came up. Kim says that she's afraid he's mad at her or something, and Tommy says, like, newsflash, Kim, you're not the center of everyone's world. And I don't know about you, I felt attacked by that personally. Tommy is kind of just being King Douche in this episode, and you know, he's just King Douche. One of the major plot points of this episode is Jason wanting to get his hands on the Green Ranger. And I got a question. Zordon says never use your powers for personal gain, but is revenge technically in that whole thing? Do you think Zordon would be happy with Jason if he were to track down and beat him or not?
No, he wouldn't be too happy about it.
Probably.
Like on the revenge factor, no. But, yeah, no.
Yeah. Tommy has to defeat a few putties in order to earn the Sword of Darkness, which, here's my problem. Wasn't this the same test of strength needed to see if he was a good fit for the Green Ranger? Why not have him fight against someone like Goldar if you need to prove yourself again?
Because it's done on the beach this time, bro. Gotta make sure he doesn't get distracted by the babes and bikinis and stuff.
I looked at that footage. There were no babes, nor bikinis, nor volleyball.
Shut up, Meg.
So we get footage of Zio Ranger of Rita and gang walking down a hill, and in that version, they're singing the Bandora song, which is really corny. We'll get to that episode later, but it kind of brings that episode to a halt, which I'm glad that we really didn't get that. There's what feels like filler in this episode when Jack and Kim, you know, use the rad bug to go back to the command center, meet up with Trini, Billy and Alpha. You know, Zach is asking Kim what's wrong, and she's like, Tommy just seems like he changed overnight, which, that's not suspicious to you guys at all. I mean, I can kind of understand not wanting to connect the dots on that, but I get why you would be hesitant to, but...
But what's connecting the dots good for? I don't want to connect the dots. That's boring.
Connect for? So earlier on, it's funny because Jason and Zach both correctly deduce, albeit don't confirm with evidence, that Green Ranger's working for Rita. You know, so there's this whole thing where, like, they're on the trail, but they just can't prove it, you know? So the Green Ranger begins attacking Angel Grove, but not before Jason and Tommy unmorphed have a chat about rescheduling an event. I can't remember exactly what it was. But once Jason has his back turned, Tommy uses his Green Ranger coin to send Jason to the Dark Dimension, which I have several questions about, by the way. I didn't know that you could do that with a power coin.
Well, at least with Tommy's power coin for now.
I guess. That's not how science works, I guess. I don't know. So the main fight in this episode is Zach, Kim, Trini, and Billy versus Tommy, and somehow they're able to call the Megazord without Jason.
And Kim doesn't call her Zord either.
I forget how they're able to
like to crap on Kim, you know?
Yeah, she doesn't call it, and then somehow the Tyrannosaurus, you know, Zord still somehow manages to show up, and I'm like, how does that work? Oh yeah, there's this bit where the Megazord kind of moves its arms about before deflecting a bash from the Green Ranger back at him with the Mammoth Shield, which is the first time that shows up, by the way, in the show. But it does happen to be that, like, because the Megazord only talks when it's saying, like, Megazord acted, you know, sequence activated or whatever. But in that footage, he's actually talking, which is why it looks like he's kind of, like, gesturing with his hands and whatnot. But here I'm like, they could have just, you know, not used that footage. I guess they really needed to fill time.
Yeah.
In Japan, the Megazord can talk. It's a sentient being, is also a god, which we'll get into that way later. But the latter part of this episode is Jason versus Goldar in the Dark Dimension, and Goldar is pretty much toying with Jason here, which is kind of fun. He's taunting Jason with the Power Morpher, sucker punching Jason in the gut, doing all this stuff, and even tells Jason that he could end him at any time. And this episode ends with Zordon gone, the Ranger's down a member, Jason's about to get stabbed by Goldar. Things couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it ain't going good for the Rangers. And, like, and it's funny, you talk about, like, Jason David Frank as an actor. And it's true, yeah, he is, going into this, he was primarily a martial artist, but he also was trying to get into acting during this time as well.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say is that, like, I actually like Jason. Like, when you first meet him, he's like, yeah, I would like that. You know, it doesn't feel very natural. But when he's acting like a dick,
yeah,
it kind of comes off really natural.
It kind of works.
And it kind of works. And it's like, and I'm not saying that Jason David Frank's a dick. I'm just saying when he plays one, it feels very natural. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And because we know, we've met Jason David Frank. We know he's awesome. It's just, I wanted to clarify. Character, person, different character thing. Person. Different Absolutely. Thing. Character, he portrayed the character as a dick really good.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, and it's just, you know, and as I bring my notes back over here, you know, it's kind of funny that, like, when we first get introduced to Tommy, it's like, yeah, he's doing the thing.
Can you pause it for a second?
It, you know, they're doing the thing. And so, like I was saying before you rudely interrupted me, Brian.
Apologies.
You know, you look at it from a kind of perspective of, like, also it's like you see Jason at getting ready for the new guy because that's who he's going to face. You know, Power Rangers has this really bad habit of introducing characters and not telling you who they are.
Yeah.
Like the deaf girl from Different Drum, we didn't know her name until the very end of the episode. You know, like, literally, like, the last two lines of the show was when we learned her name. You know, we learned who Tommy was because of the scoreboard. Because it said, Jason, Tommy.
Yeah. And I think, what was it, like, the whole thing with, like, Marge, too. Like, they didn't really say Marge's name until, like, at least halfway through the episode.
Yeah, and, like... Like, I mean, you got William kind of early, you got Maria really early, but you had, like, other characters that were kind of important to the episode that we just didn't say their name. And yeah. And especially, like, you're establishing Tommy as this main vocal point of this five-part, like, run. Don't you think you want to establish him better than having the scoreboard tell you what his name is? So.
I mean, I would have preferred to, like, and you know what's funny, too, is they could have totally done something where, and I know they wouldn't have done this, but they could have totally done something where, like, oh, we didn't get to change the scoreboard, but we really have to get this match done. My name is actually, you know, like, Esteban or something.
Or my name is David.
Yeah.
So I mean, but yeah, that's really, I mean, but it also brings in a really interesting fact of, like, you have the battle between, you know, Jason and Goldar. You know, this is now, like, really the first time that, you know, they've actually had the fight, somebody's had the fight Goldar unmorphed.
Right.
And it's Jason the leader, and it's kind of cool. And we'll get into it in the next episode when we do 3 and 4, because, like, what Jason does as part of the battle, it's like he's realizing when we last see him at the very end of this of the second episode, he can't match Goldar physically, you know, and you could tell that he's realizing that. So, but anyways, you good on notes?
I'm good on notes.
Good on notes. All right. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, both Out of Control and Jason's Battle, which is part 1 and part 2 respectively, got an IMDb score of an 8.7 out of 10. They both get the same score. So with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at Wondering Geek. You can also find me on castwavestudios.com. Please feel free to check out Boldly Going Nowhere and my beer review show, Wondering Geek. You can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. Mike, where can we find you?
You can find me in the depths of hell known as Twitter at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, and of course on the website, TXHTHockey.com for everything, and obviously /VFTG, which is the call letters of Voices from the Grid, for everything our show.
You're not so wrong about Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. So with that, Brian, it's that time. Take us away, Brian.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we'll see you next time. Be sure to grab your power morphers.
And may the power protect you.